Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us as we seek you with obedience to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you for your plan of salvation by which we can be saved as we accept Jesus as our Savior with our born-again experience, where we walk as a new creation with and through Jesus Christ. Amen. Some days ago, I had a wonderful visit with an evangelist. He was 98 years old and living in a retirement home for older people. His mind was sharp and his heart was concerned for the unsaved. We praised the Lord and had a wonderful visit. We each come to Jesus in a different way. Often it is with pain which motivates us to move outside of our comfort zone, where we seek relief from the difficulties. And now, on the radio, I've told you my journey to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. So, in brief, I'll just say it was an intellectual pursuit of knowledge and truth that moved me to seek God in Jesus. After a couple of years of study as an unbeliever, I pursued knowledge and then could not deny the truth of God in Jesus Christ, so I had to become a Christ follower, and that is the very short story of my becoming a Christ follower. We all have different paths to the one true God of the Bible. The Bible tells us and warns us not to be deceived, and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says Jesus in John 14:5. In life, we have entertainment and distractions which keep us from turning to Jesus. And our mind can get very full of entertainment, TV, radio, maybe alcohol, drugs, or pleasure, so that we don't have time to pursue God's truth and Bible truth. Life can get all of our attention, or we can give it to our spiritual pursuit. Sometimes we have a calamity come up in life, like there was the campfire in paradise. There may be some other fire. Well, about that campfire in paradise, there is much progress that is being made. There's still very much to be done, but I have read that there are over 5,500 properties that have been cleared of debris. This was as of 2 weeks ago, and that 1,600 properties had been certified clean by the county. What else? 65 building permits had been issued, and 87 applications for a plan check. See, there is progress after that campfire in paradise, but there still is very much to be done. I've talked with people and I wondered if the insurance settlement checks that have been written already, if they were adequate to rebuild. I don't mean to find fault with the insurance company, because they pay what they're required to pay, or in this case, probably a little bit more. But maybe the owner did not have the best insurance to have. There is an insurance that is called replacement cost insurance, and that would cover any new building requirements or any building code changes that had been added since the home was insured. Well, it's life that's how it goes, and you have to make sensible examination to what you agree to and what you pay for. And all these things, these new regulations, they are to improve life for people. political people, they say it is for the good of the people to have new regulations. But there's a problem when the people cannot afford to make all the improvements that the politicians require. And there's also the question of that cycle we are in of inflation. Each one of these areas puts more pressure on any one of us for rebuilding or just plain to go through life. It's always important to examine what our future holds and imagine what we can do to improve it. Of course, the spiritual improvement is the one area, the most important area, and the other is the physical improvements that we can make. So, always concerns. It's just life. We go through life and we have concerns, and including the earthquakes that went on just a matter of a couple of weeks ago. It was about on 4th of July that we had the two earthquakes in Southern California. The experts say that we can have aftershocks for even a year, and that those aftershocks can be almost as large as the initial earthquake. And those two earthquakes were about 7 on the Richter scale. Pretty big. But there's ones that are much bigger and much smaller. The news reports say that some people were so shook up by those earthquakes that they slept outside in tents. And yeah, I can understand that it would be a scary thing to go through concern about your home standing up. But we just deal with it in the earthquake-prone area that we are in. And, oh, I just have to mention the Cascadia subduction zone, because the experts are saying and have said that we can expect that to produce an earthquake that is between 9 and 9.5 on the Richter scale. And we think of the difference between, hey, we just had those couple of earthquakes that were a 7, and now we're talking about a 9 or larger. Well, the difference between the numbers is not great, but the scale is logarithmic, which means you add a 0 for each number. And therefore, you can... As you seek out the information, you can ask Google about it, which is what I did. I asked Google about the difference between a 7.0 and a 9.0 earthquake. And Google says that a 9.0 is 1,000 times more powerful than a 7.0. It's just so astounding. I just have to say that again. A 9.0 is 1,000 times more powerful than a 7.0. So what are we going to do when we have these earthquakes happen? And my answer is, don't be scared. Don't be afraid of what's coming. No, become prepared for the just in case and have some things just on hand. If you've probably heard of that great San Francisco earthquake of 1906, that was a 7.9 on the Richter scale. And that's kind of halfway between a 7 and a 9, kind of. But As I said, those scales are logarithmic, and the difference between that and a 9.0 Cascadia earthquake is huge. That Cascadia subduction zone runs between Northern California and the southern part of Canada, just off the coast. No one can predict when it will hit, but about everyone agrees that it is about due, and a growing number of people are becoming aware of the link between volcanism, which is volcanoes, and earthquakes. So there are people today who are talking about the Yellowstone super caldera, and that and the earthquakes that are going on are linked together in a very large system, at least by the continents and perhaps worldwide. It's a field that there's not real knowledge in, but there are indicators, and that is what they are studying, how these things can be tied together. Yep, it's not knowledge, because we don't have enough information to actually know what's going on. But there are trends and indicators, and that gives a whole lot of people some very real concern about the threats that are right in front of us with earth movement. Sure, you could call it volcanoes and earthquakes. Well, I've heard a preacher say this a few days ago. He was talking about the spiritual battle between good and evil. But maybe it applies to the subject of natural disasters. He said, there's a storm coming, and nobody is going to be ready to meet it, because most all of us live in a fantasy world. He could be right. Oh, what a world we have. So many things going on. Now, everyone has their own thoughts on this subject and the many others. I like to think about what other people say and try to learn from what their thoughts and conclusions are. It is interesting what else this man said. He said that in regards to helping people, that we must provide for the preachers, because the preachers introduce eternal life to the masses. So I thought that was interesting. Yeah, like I said, I like to listen to what people have to say. So much goes on in our world. What a world we have. Every year brings changes, and some changes we expect, and some changes we do not expect. Some are wonderful for humanity, and others are tragic for humanity. It just, a lot is going on. I think back over time, and it gives you a different perspective to look over time, and as a history guy, I have done that a lot. I've looked at long periods of time. But I also have a personal experience with that, because my grandparents were all older parents. Well, anyway, my grandparents were all born in the 1800s. So my parents kind of had some old-fashioned ideas, even though they did embrace modern living and modern tools. Yeah, that things have changed. My dad bought and drove a very early truck, and that was about 1920. And that was before driver's licenses were issued. I think that's funny. So much has changed. My dad even taught me how to use a scythe and a sickle, and how to do that with efficient body movements. It's just sensible when you realize about it, but today we never think about those things. Today we think that ancient tools is useless technology, and in a way it really is. But we can apply what we know to all sorts of areas in life. So, yeah, the scythe and the sickle, those are useless unless we have a nationwide power outage. it might or it might not happen. Well, changes in the world, they go on all the time. A lot of things change, but I don't think the heart of man changes. There is still greed and love and compassion and generosity, all these things. There is still God who tells us how to live. And in the midst of our technology, we have advanced technology like computers and cell phones. Oh, we have weapons of war that are very advanced. Communications between people. Communications in the military. Like there is a ultra-low frequency wave that is used to communicate between submarines and their headquarters, which might be in Washington, D.C. And that communication, that transmission can take 25 minutes to get one message from one side of the world to the other using that ultra-low frequency communication. But the message does get through. Oh, it's technology. We have learned so much about how to make things work that we want to see working or have the technology of warfare. It's just huge. So much that we have developed. I hope it makes life better for people. But there's so many things, and we have to evaluate them as we go along, and a lot of things that we just don't have a choice about, there they are. There are many scientifically oriented people who come up with they face a problem and then they come up with solutions. And the ultra-low frequency communication is an item like that. And sometimes our technology has unintended consequences. Oh, for instance, there's a question of whether those ultra-low frequency waves that are used for that communication, if they interfere with fish and mammals and their brains and their nervous systems, because we have seen fish and mammals just kind of go crazy. And what I think is they tend to get away, want to leave the area and go away from that. And what do? They swim up rivers or they beach themselves. And that's why we've seen whales and fish and all sorts of things beach themselves on the beaches, the sandy beaches. And there they are, tens or even hundreds. Now, part of it is something we just are investigating, but there are people who have said it in the past. The first person that I ever heard who talked about this was Nick Begish. He's an author, and he's a doctor, Nick Begish. So he talked about what happens to the ocean life when these ultra-low frequency waves are used. I have wondered if the same kind of thing happens to the birds. Oh, like in you've seen the reports that here in the United States in the past years, there have been reports of mass deaths of birds. Birds dying in large numbers, like hundreds or even thousands. And there was never a reason. It was an unknown. But there are those dead birds right on the ground. Well, aren't you just glad that they can't do that to people? Yeah, well, I don't think they can. So the news sources give you some conversation, some talking about what the military has in the way of weapons. And they have good reasons for them. non-lethal methods of crowd control, for instance. So they have experiments. There's the big glue guns that they use. Oh, they have a big sound gun that they use. They have a heat gun that they use. And that heat gun has infrared heat coming out of it that will cause whoever it's pointed at to immediately run from that area because they feel that they are quickly being burned. Their flesh feels the burn. And then they just can't stand it. And of course, after 5 or 10 or 25 seconds, they get out of the area. The time depends on what it is set, intensity it is set to. But these are the things that the military has to do. They are doing it. And I guess we need it. I don't know. Well, what a contrast between us, who are people who are making weapons to control other people, and a God who loves us and gives us freedom. What a contrast. God gives us so much freedom. We can choose to obey God, or we can choose to follow our own momentary desires, which often oppose the will of God. So, we have freedom of choice, and we get the consequences of those choices. Sometimes we get pain from our decisions, and sometimes we get a shorter lifespan because of the decisions we make. Yeah, sometimes they even will kill us what we choose to do. But hopefully, we learn to follow God's good plan for us. It's indicated, written right in there in the Bible. So I say, read the Bible. It's a good book. Yes, and even though we can look back in our history and think that things are change, well, they do change. But Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Isn't it lovely to have a wonderful God, Jesus Christ? So we see changes. We see changes in life. And of course, I would mention for me, it's with my family. I see my grandfather, my father, and me. Big changes. And some things remain the same. Of course, we like the good changes. Oh, we would never want to go back in time and have to live like our forefathers did. Oh, in the Middle Ages, most people were farmers, and they had the living conditions were not just wonderful as we think of them. They had dirt floors in their homes, and they had a thatched roof made of straw. I remember when I was a teenager, my dad wanted to tell me what he knew about thatched roofs and how to make them. And you know what? I wasn't very interested. But hey, I had the information available. Well, so much of the things that we experience, we just want them to stay here because we have some great advances in our life. We have hot water and tasty food and so much entertainment. So we want those. We like things that we like. And I think that over time, there have been plenty of things that have stayed the same. Mankind has always loved pleasure and feared the unknown. Mankind has also appreciated poetry and song. And I think another thing is we've always had a relationship with God. We people have always been asking God to protect them from something that was unknown. And if you think about life in the past in the medieval days. Well, I think of medieval England for an example of this. Tomatoes were thought to be a poison because people who ate tomatoes, they might have been sick or had a quick death. And you know why? It's because tomatoes are highly acidic. And in the Middle Ages, people used dishes which were made of tin and lead. Now the tomatoes, they reacted with the lead. And the people got lead poisoning, which either made them sick or killed them. So in general, people at that time believed tomatoes were a poison because of so many people who got sick and died after eating tomatoes. Well, that's the story of one of the true stories of history. Hey, another example is, why do we say Gesundheit? We say Gesundheit, which means God bless you, after a sneeze, because in the Middle Ages, the plague, also called the Black Plague, existed, and in many parts of Europe, most people had no understanding of how it spread, and they just saw people dying. The plague killed people pretty quickly, and people just seemed to, well, there was a great concern that they would be spared from that Black Death. There was no understanding about what the plague was or how it spread. So it came to be thought that when a person sneezed, it meant that they were probably catching the plague and that they would soon be dead. So a person would say, God bless you, which is to say, God give that person health. That's what Gesundheit means. Good health. That was in German. Good health. So, we all try to understand what's going on, and a lot of things are mysteries, and we just do not understand what is happening or why. It was very common in the Middle Ages, and we can use the example of understanding today. But today there are also things that happen which we are trying to understand and seek information about. Oh, technology is a part of it. I know in the U.S.-Iraq war, it was said that the United States used a secret weapon on Iraqi soldiers. Our military called it the Voice of God. There was radio waves that were put out in the language of Iraq, and it was telling the Iraqi soldiers to surrender to the United States troops. And the Iraqi soldiers did surrender by the hundreds to U.S. troops. So was there something else going on, or was it that technology that we used called the Voice of God that speaks quite directly into the ear? Well, I must tell you that it's hard to verify a lot of information. We examine the sources, and we try to find if there was several sources of the information that we hear, and does it line up with a previous direction, or is there a news source about it? I do take note of the different things that I hear, and there is plenty which is said, and disagreement too. I mean, you look at Google, and there's lots of information on Google, but I have found that Google does not always tell the truth. That is my personal experience, because things that I've known were not reported accurately on that Google site. So, I know that what I say can be a little bit different from what the search engines say, but it is true according to my great understanding. Still, whatever you hear, I urge you to use your own logical brain and try to understand, and of course pray about what you want to grasp, that big picture or little picture information. Pray about it. It's always a good thing to do. Pray, pray, pray in all matters. Pray for God's understanding and pray for God to give you discernment. See, in life, we are always having a battle between good and evil. And we're in it today, right now. And we need to have discernment to stay on the right path. That path that leads to God and our own salvation with and through Jesus Christ. And there is a lot going on in life. Sometimes we don't pay attention to everything and we get surprises. And that's just life. But so many things in life. We have a modern conveniences. Like the internet is something that is a part of what we use to find information and discern truth. But pay attention. Oh, also, because one day it might not work. Yeah, if we had an electromagnetic, that is EMP pulse attack, and that would be by a nuclear weapon, it would completely change our way of life. Another one is the coronal mass ejection, a CME. That comes from the sun, and it would do the same thing. They've happened before, and it's a possibility that all of our electricity could go out. And for how long is an unknown question. There are people who think about it. There's scientific thinkers, and they have a great big variety depending on what exactly it is that hits us. They say that the electrical grid down could be lasting from anywhere from 5 months and 5 years, depending on the circumstances. It's truly an unknown. I say don't worry about it, but if we're kind of prepared for the just in case, we don't have to be so concerned about it. I know I've heard Peter Pry before. He's written a lot of articles and he's spoken on different radio broadcasts. He was an investigator for Congress and he looked into the collapse of our electrical system. And he gave Congress his reports. A lot of them are public. And he was very, very concerned about this threat when he realized the United States is very vulnerable. So he began speaking about this in 2008. And since then, he's done a lot of speaking and written a couple of books about how to protect our electrical grid and what we can do personally to protect ourselves, because it is a possible threat. There's no doubt about it. It's a real possible threat. But how much concern? That's always the question. How much concern should we actually have about it? Well, I'm not sure. I wonder about it. But I have heard him tell about what he has done for his children and grandchildren, and he has bought them a substantial supply of food and water. So you can look him up on the internet and see his work and his writings. He does speak about a lot of the different situations that could arise from a grid down collapse. Yeah, and speaking about the internet, we do rely on the internet for all sorts of things, for our communications, for supplying us with food and material. It's communications of every sort. So what would happen if the internet were to fail? Well, it would be catastrophic. And that, again, is why I urge everyone to get something for the just-in-case. It's easy to get now. You can call it insurance. It's just to have something for just-in-case. And meanwhile, we can be thankful that our system of supplying us with everything works so well. And it does work well. We have a system in place that is so very beneficial, we just don't recognize it all the time. I know, let's see. For instance, last week I was driving down a side road, and there was a semi-truck that was stopped partway in the road and partway off the road. The driver of the semi-truck was using a flat shovel to get the 100 feet of dirt, well, mud, that his truck left on the road. He was shoveling it all off. And there was a county vehicle stopped, 100 feet behind him with its hazard flashers on to help that man take the mud off the road. That same, within that same hour, same morning, I saw a mile away, there was a different truck. It was a dump truck, and it had dumped some gravel on the road. So there was a highway patrol with its hazard flashing lights on to warn the approaching traffic of a hazard. So, see, this is just the small things that benefits us in life. We have people who are looking after everything working smoothly. And it's just great. We should appreciate all the government people that are helping us. Otherwise, we'd have a huge mess all around us. Oh, what a mess we could have. The list of possibilities for what could interrupt our life, what could interrupt all the orderliness in our life, is very long. So I point out some of these from time to time because all sorts of things can happen, it's just that they haven't. But to me it shows that, again, that things can happen and we want to be prepared. Again, prepare spiritually and also physically. Oh, let's see. In the news lately, there has been a volcano in Italy, and that killed one tourist. And there was a news article about an Alaska earthquake in 1958, and that caused a tsunami 50 feet high. And that was because of the slope of the ocean floor before it reached the land. Now, that did happen in 1958, but it was just in the news last week because scientists had made an observation about it. So a week ago, what else? There was a 7.1 earthquake in Indonesia. Tsunami warnings were given, but it was only a few feet high. And there was a container ship that had 33,000 pounds of cocaine on board. It was seized by the U.S. Customs, and it had a value of between $800 million and $1.3 billion. 33,000 pounds of cocaine. I am so glad that it did not get onto the streets of America. Another news item is the Yellowstone Super Caldera volcano. It has been in the news every week for a month. And this week too. They called Yellowstone a ticking time bomb that could go off any time. In the article, it noted the 2017 Smithsonian Channel special report about Yellowstone. I have referenced that report before, and what got my attention at that time, and still does, that the experts are saying that there could be several feet of ash from that super caldera that would cover most of five states to the east of Yellowstone. And that would make farming and ranching in the region impossible for about 5 years, maybe longer. So we think of the Nebraska floods that occurred earlier this year. They were devastating, yes, but a Yellowstone super caldera eruption would be ever so much greater in how it would disrupt and hurt our lives. There's other dangers that there could be. Things like, Russia. Is Russia a danger? Well, earlier this year, they spoke about their hypersonic nuclear missile, which had a much greater range than the standard missiles, and it could change direction in flight. That's new. So, Russia has displayed its new missile. They call it the Satan II missile. It weighs 220 tons. It's an ICBM, and they say that it will be ready to deploy in about 1 year. What a future, huh? We don't know what will happen. We don't know when it will happen. And so we rely on what we do know. And we do know God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we rely on God. So, let's see. I know that there have been pastors who have warned us about coming troubles. I've heard this for 30 years and 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, yes. And for most of those, or at least half of those years, I did not pay attention to any of the warnings. I did not believe the warnings. Oh, I remember what they said, but as the time has gone on, the puzzle pieces of each warning from various pastors has gradually come together, and I realized that they were really looking at Scripture and trying to put it into life today. So I looked at, I re-examined that, and I looked at the condition in the world today. I looked at how things were relating to Scripture, and now I say, yes, look out, be prepared, because we are in a battle. First, it is spiritual, and it is also physical. All the things going on around us. And we get caught up in so many things, like gaining prosperity. Another one is pleasure. So there are lots of pursuits that we can have that do really distract us. Prosperity and pleasure can be distractions from our spiritual relationship, our spiritual needs with God. It's so easy to get off the wrong track, and if we're with the wrong people, people who have an orientation to the world or towards, you know, call it bad things, it's just not good. You think about how does it start out? It can start out as a gentle manipulation where somebody says, hey, can you do this for me? And it brings a benefit. But soon enough, They keep asking you to do things, and that's how a person can get manipulated. It shifts to what to where they are doing what they are told, and you get conditioned to do it even if you don't want to do it. And that has to do with someone having power over another person. So that's a part of the spiritual battle also. We have a battle right in front of us, and evil wants every good thing that anyone else has. Evil wants everything that we Christians have. It wants our life. It wants our liberty, and it wants our fortunes. That's part of the battle that is going on around us. And in the meanwhile, we have love and caring around us that is also a part of life. But remember that if there are things that are not of God, to stay away from them. You don't want to have anything to do with areas of life that do not glorify God. Riches can, well, it depends on your focus. They can be helpful for the kingdom of God, but mostly they take you away from the kingdom of God. And we want to live a God-honoring life. We can look at the world all around us, and there are things that just get our attention. It's life. It's the way we live. It is so inside of us. And we get intrigued by all the things that are going on. I know that we see things on the internet or on YouTube or something that are just, well, they're questionable. Should we even be watching them? Often enough, we get intrigued by it. And I remember that's happened to me. Sure. There was something about a tunnel between Switzerland and Italy, and an opening ceremony. It was a grand opening. Well, it was pomp and ceremony. And the elite of Europe was there. And what I came to see was a constant stream of occult symbolism that was really entertaining the people there. Amazing. It was just so amazing that such a display of ungodliness can happen. That was 2017 or the end of 2016. Well, I don't want to see it again. Somebody else can decipher all the little nuances that were going on with it. I just bring it up to say that these things are present in our world, and we want to keep our minds protected from evil. And that means protect your eyes from seeing evil. Keep your eyes on that which is of God. I think of Job in chapter 31. Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think upon a maid? And so, the commentary is that Job said he would not have an improper thought about looking at a young woman. And isn't that good for us? Isn't that good for our world? We can have improper thoughts. Oh, a man about a woman, or a woman about a man. But we want our thoughts to be holy. Yeah, holy. I think of, 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So, that is such a good orientation. Can we be holy in life? Yes, of course. But it doesn't just come because we live holy. Well, yes, it does. We we make the determination and then we follow it through. Doesn't mean it's easy, but we do it. We do it because we're faithful to God. So we are always to look at the orientation about what is godly and what is ungodly. We get to deal with all of it and see it and figure it out. And oh, it's not easy, but that's what we're called on to do, to live a holy and a godly life. I think about the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew chapter 13. And there it was good for the good and the bad seeds were planted, and the owner of the field said to wait until the plants had matured and then separated the wheat from the tares. You can read that in chapter 13. You can get a good grasp of what was going on and really how you would relate to it, because that's what we do with the Bible. All these examples are for our benefit so that we can live a life pleasing to God. That's what we want. Well, Matthew chapter 13, about the weeds and the tares. Get a good grasp of that and try to understand it. And I guess you could even wonder how it would apply to the internet. Yeah, okay. How does it apply to the internet? Well, let the good and the bad develop together and then judge the results, which develop right in front of your eyes as you're looking at the internet, the good and the bad of the internet. Because I don't think the internet is bad. It's just that it has a mixture of good and bad within it. It carries both. So let them both mature and then separate them. Or do it beforehand if you can. Well, the good and the bad. I'm thinking about the internet, and it reminds me of my dad, because when he was 80, he saw that computers could be an important part of the future. So he bought a computer for me and my children. That was a long time ago. It was the Apple IIe. It was big, it was cumbersome, and it just didn't do very much. Not compared to the smartphones or computers of today. That Apple IIe computer, really, you could hardly call it a computer by today's standards. It did give the user just the smallest amount of understanding about the computing process. So it was good, but wow, when you say computer then and computer today, there's no comparison. What a difference. Well, it was a good start for a lot of people, I guess. It started the industry, and people had to buy what they sold, and there was one bought and sold. So, well, if I had to do it over again, I would tell my dad to save his money and don't worry about the computer. Anyway, the internet is a part of something developed. It was developed by the military. In the late 1960s, the DARPA people used it. DARPA. It stands for Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. And they do lots of things for the advancement of technology. So they spread it around the world with different agencies, institutions, universities. And one of the people they gave it to was CERN, and CERN in 1993 released the source code for it, and after that, the internet just spread and spread. It turned into the worldwide web of information. And for 10 years, it just boomed and boomed to millions of users. Millions of websites and users. So that was the World Wide Web. It was a source of good and a source of evil. There has even been developed the dark web, so where lots of information goes. It's just to be careful of. Be sure you seek out the goodness of God. Seek out good and not evil. Seek God and not Satan. It's always a choice that we make. We make a choice, and our choices have eternal consequences of hell or heaven. And God knows all about your choices. So choose good, choose God, and choose heaven, and live out your choice each day. You can listen to any Christ Today broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org and use lowercase and no spaces. And for my free preparedness list of ideas, please send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Always remember, the safest place to be is in the will of God. Until next week.